anticipating we might have had the theme from the film The Good, the Bad and the Ugly, because it links in with the theme this morning, which is that we're wanted, dead or alive. And of course, those of you who love film music will be aware of the death of Morricone, who wrote many wonderful theme tunes. So as we continue our journey through Romans, and the emphasis is shifting from the focus on sin and the law. And this week we're looking at the significance of living with that continuing conflict. Last week, Ian highlighted the tension of how we always end up doing what we don't want to do. There's that inner conflict between us, that he described it as sort of the Jekyll and Hyde of that tension in our lives. And in our minds, we know what we want to do. We want to serve the law of God. But in our fallen nature, we continue to be pulled towards serving the law of sin. But do we see Paul being pulled apart as he writes this letter? No. He has been rescued, as it says at the end of chapter 7, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And as we look at this chapter, moving on into chapter 8, we are getting into some of the depth of Pauline theology here. And one of the commentaries I was reading from Tom Wright identified Paul's theology rather like a rose. And in a moment, we'll have on the screen the highlights of what we're looking at this morning. The kernel of all this, the bud, is that there is no condemnation now in Christ, that the Spirit has set us free, and that we are no longer subject to our own desires, but by the Spirit, and it is by the Spirit that the law is fulfilled. In verses 5 to 8, we're just going to explore a little bit about what's our mindset in life? What do we set our minds on pursuing? And in verses 9 to 11, we'll be focusing on the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the key to our living the life that God wants us to live, to be alive indeed in the Spirit. So there is no condemnation now for us, because the Spirit law has set us free from the sin law that is what our human nature wants to respond to. And God acts through the Son and the Spirit to condemn sin, because we are now in Christ Jesus. So all those who acknowledge Jesus as Lord, who are seeking to live their lives in the way that he wants us to go, are indeed no longer under condemnation. And if you like, life has trumped death. It has overcome that end that is the consequence of our sinful beings. Now, God knows, of course, that all humanity sins. Paul writes in the earlier part of Romans, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And we strive to do our best, don't we? But in God's economy, we fall short, and we are certainly imperfect. And that, of course, is why, as we read here, why God sent Jesus in the likeness of sinful flesh. Jesus remained himself in an unfallen state. But he became fully human, but without falling into the sin that we do. And whilst Jesus became fully human, and indeed became sin for us, and in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we read what's on the screen, for our sake, he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. So we know how Jesus has taken our place on the cross and is, through the Spirit, leading us to live that different mindset that we'll be exploring. So we have been justified by Jesus. We've been put right with God once and for all. As the Reformation theologian would say, we are justified by faith alone. And with our sins forgiven, we're also made holy once by the Holy Spirit. We're set apart for God's grace through Jesus' death and resurrection. But we are being continually sanctified. We are being continually brought closer to that ideal that God wants for our lives. And I hope, I mean, it's difficult terminology, but you are justified and you are sanctified as you accept Jesus as Lord and Savior and accept the Holy Spirit in your lives. Because the Holy Spirit is the power that enables us to live holy lives. He gives us that strength and ability to live a moral life. Now in this world, amongst all the pressures and temptations we have in our secular world, but he also gives us eternal life at the resurrection and Jesus's return. And so this is what we declare throughout our lives as Christians. And over recent weeks, it's been a joy to walk the journey towards preparing for confirmation with Sue and Amanda and Julie as they start that faith journey, one that has been started in some sense for many years, but is coming to a fruition as they declare their faith at their confirmation. So do pray for them, because the last thing the devil wants is people to affirm their Christian faith and to stand strong in the world. So please do pray for Sue, Amanda, and Julie as they continue their journey. And the realization of knowing that we've got the Spirit in our lives, it may be dramatic, it may be what one might call to be a personal Pentecost. It might otherwise be a gradual awakening, an awareness of the presence and of the Holy Spirit. It may be that it's a discovery. You suddenly come upon this treasure that you hadn't realized you already had of the Holy Spirit in your lives. But whatever way we come to acknowledge the Holy Spirit, it is evidenced by our lives, by being made holy, because the transformation continues day by day. And as we acknowledge the Holy Spirit, so our understanding of the place of Jesus in our life deepens day by day as well. And just as in the Old Testament, there was the declaration that God's glory filled his temple. Well, we have been declared by Jesus to be the temple of God now. So his glory in the Holy Spirit fills us now as well. You may not know that concept, but we are that temple of God and the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. So what we need to acknowledge is that the law, which had been given to the God's people in the past, has now been fulfilled through the Holy Spirit in us, because we are walking now according to the walk that the Spirit wants of us and not what the flesh wants. And we are being helped by the Spirit to express our faith. And he enables us to have the freedom and the strength, and he gives us the guidance and assistance to serve God in whatever calling he has placed us. He has helped us through his Spirit to overcome sin and to witness to being part of the family of God, which we'll be looking at later in this series. And he assists us in our prayer. And don't we all need that? We know that God calls us to pray, and we often do not know what to pray, but the Holy Spirit intercedes for us. So as we begin to draw to a close, I just want to touch on what is our mindset of life? What is our attitude to the different ways in which we can go. How do we exercise our mind in different ways? Is it on earthly things? We're allowing our human corruptible nature to lead the way? Or is it on spiritual things, allowing God's spirit to lead us? And in Paul's letter to the Galatians, he lists two very detailed lists of those things that are of the world and those things that are of the spirit in Galatians chapter 5. And so as we draw to a close, if Jane could, yes, thank you, Jane. As we recall that we are wanted. We are wanted whether we have, whether we are dead through our sin, because we are dead to our sin, but we're also alive in the spirit. So we're wanted both dead and alive by God. And the reward that we receive is eternal life in the spirit. So while we might be dead through our human nature and dead to sin, we are alive by the Holy Spirit. And this section in Romans is a powerful account of the gospel in every word that Paul writes. And we need to be open and willing for the wind of the Spirit to blow us along on the course that God has planned for us. Looking very briefly at the gospel this morning, just the last sentence which I used as the verse of the week talks about us being in fertile ground. Are we walking in that way that we're able to sow the seeds of our faith in fertile ground so that it bears fruit for God and his kingdom? And it's our choice. It's ultimately up to us to determine on what path our mind is set. And may that path be the path that the Spirit guides us along. Amen.